Hi, welcome to Simply Wanda. I wanted to jump on right quick to try to share with you guys what I feel God is kind of downloading in me. Because I honestly always ask God for understanding. And all you're getting, get an understanding, you know, so, and I ask for his knowledge, his wisdom and things like that. But I'm sitting here and I'm going through thinking about a message that I did a while ago called Cornelius PP, and it's post Paul. That's why I call it PP, Cornelius in the Bible, before Paul and after, Peter, before Peter and after Peter. What happened with the conversion of Cornelius and his family and friends? Okay. So as I, you know, I'm thinking back to the message and looking at what God is showing in his word. And, you know, I really kind of got excited about looking at what Peter had to preach, that this whole family, and he invited a couple of close friends, I guess, as well, to come to the house and hear what Peter had to say, because the angel told him to go send for Peter. Peter had words to bring salvation. And this was a man who had been praying. This is a man who had been fasting. This is a man who knew how to give to the poor. He knew how to give to God. So this was a man who looked like the model Christian, but yet he was missing something. He didn't have salvation. And so the angel appeared to him and said that your alms have reached up to heaven. They're speaking for you. And God says, go and send for Peter. Peter, who knew, and this was a Gentile, Peter knew that Gentiles and Jews did not mix. Yet God gave him a vision to say it was okay to go. Okay. So Peter knew it was okay for him to go, to be with, you know, to follow the man, to go back to where he was. But I'm looking at what Peter preached. What did he preach? And if you look at the text, and I believe this is in Acts 10 and 11, and it takes reading for real the whole chapter of 10 and 11 to get some understanding. But Peter told them, as he, you know, they came into the house, Cornelius was so glad that Peter came, that he bowed down to him when he walked, you know, saw him. And Cornelius was like, no, get up. I'm a man like you. Get up. Don't bow to me. That, you know, that's what Peter told Cornelius. Don't bow to me. He went on in the house, and there was all the other people that were there, his family and I guess some close friends. And they were all eager to hear what Peter had to say. But Peter said something. He says, you already know. See, that's the part that stirred me up. You already know. Oh, no. This is what he said. He did say, he said, you already know. And to hear that, you know about Jesus and what he did. You know about this. So it's like you heard about Jesus, you know, when he was walking and he was healing. You heard about this, you know. So this is what you heard. I'm going to tell you what I know. Because Peter was saying, it's like Cornelius and his family were not among the ones who were there to touch, you know, right at Jesus' feet, you know, and then it wasn't like that was implied, but Peter did imply that, you've heard about him. You already know, this much about Jesus, but let me tell you what I know. So let me tell you what I know. And Peter gave his personal account. Yeah, they killed him. They hung him on a tree. He died. They hung him on a tree. But he rose again, and he walked and he ate with people, you know, he was like, they, you know, he was among the ones he walked. So he was given an account of a personal something that, yeah, he did. He rose. Yeah. I know y'all heard this, that, you know, you think he died, but let me tell you what I know. Let me tell you what I know. And that's where I am. Let me tell you what I know. And if you look at that, let me tell you what I know. That, oh my gosh, if each person sat who has a relationship with Christ Jesus, and you sit and give somebody a word of what you know, not what you heard, this is what you know. Oh, glory to God. I know he's a redeemer. I know I used to be like this, but now I'm like this. You know, you give your personal account. Let me tell you what I know. This is what I know. I used to curse like a sailor, and they say sailors, and I guess sailors are known for cursing. But I know God took that away. Every other word that used to come out of my mouth used to be profanity, but God took that away. That's what I know. Thank you, Jesus. That's what I know. Every other word coming out of my mouth was a word of profanity that even my husband, who was a sailor, had to say something about my mouth. I had friends saying something about my mouth. I didn't even like how I was cursing and tried to stop. So I didn't even like it. But Jesus, that's what I know, that he cleared that up. He took that. That's what I know. That's what I know. I know that over the years, there were many sickness and disease that hit. But God healed me. That's what I know. I mean, really, that is what I know. I know where certain things the doctor was saying you would have to just live with. The surgery would be too risky. You have to just live with that thing. And over the years, I realized, okay, I don't even have that pain anymore. What? Okay, Jesus, you did take that. Oh my gosh. Okay, he took that. He took the pain and he said, okay. The doctor did what they could do or said what they could say. Okay, this is me, King Jesus. This is what I can do. And when he took that, I'm like, oh my gosh. Okay, Lord. Okay, Lord. Okay, Lord. So that's what I'm saying. I'm saying, tell what you know. Tell what you know. What you know will convince people of Christ Jesus. It will build them up. Tell what you know. This is what you thought you knew when Peter was talking to them. He told them, okay, yeah, so you know about, so they had some knowledge. Here's the thing. They had some knowledge of Christ Jesus, but it wasn't enough for salvation. They were not saved. If they were saved, they would not have needed Peter to come. The angel would not have appeared to Cornelius and told him Peter got words to bring salvation. So, and then when Peter started talking to them, he said, well, you know, well, I know, you know, almost like, well, you heard how Jesus walked and healed people. Yeah, you heard about this, you know, so the fame of Jesus has spread it in that region, in the area. So y'all have heard of Jesus, but let me tell you what I know. And when Peter spoke of what he know, yeah, he died. Yeah, he rose. I saw him. Ha, come on. I saw him. I ate with him. Yeah, they hung him on a tree. But he's alive. And just him telling them, no, no, he's not dead. He's alive. No, no, no. He's an alive God. Oh, glory to God. He's a real God. Oh, glory to God. No, no, no. He's not a fictional character. He's an alive God. The Holy Ghost came upon them right as Peter was speaking. They just needed to know he was alive. Oh, glory to God. Somebody today just need to know that Jesus is alive. Oh, glory to God. They think that Jesus is a fictional character. They think that, I can't even fathom all the stuff that's out there that's false about him. But somebody needs to know he's an alive God. He is real. He is real. that he rose from the dead. Oh, glory to God. He walked this earth some over 2,000 something years ago. He came in flesh. He came in flesh and blood so that he could redeem us. They did hang him on a tree. Oh, glory to God. But he was the perfect sacrifice, and Father God brought him back, gave him back his life. That same power that brought him back to life lives in me. And if you have your seal, the same power lives in you. Somebody needs to know that he's alive. Oh, glory to God. He is alive. He's not a dead God. Oh, glory to God. Oh, no, no, no. He's not a weak God. He did rise again. He came back from the grave. Oh, glory to God. He came back from the grave. He proved that he was a perfect sacrifice. If he wasn't good enough, he would not have come back. When he died on the cross, it would have been a done deal. I mean, he wouldn't have come back. But the fact that the Father brought him back just to let us know, no, he was the perfect offering. He was the perfect sacrifice. Now he can stand for all mankind. And all we need to do is look at him. Somebody needs to know that he is alive. Jesus is alive. Let that soak in your spirit. Jesus is alive. Oh, glory to God. He is alive. Thank you, Lord. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. He's an alive God. He's a living God. He lives. He lives. Do you hear me? He lives. He lives. He lives. He lives. He lives. He's not up there sleeping. He's not tired and worn out. He is alive. He paid the price for your sin. See, somebody don't know. Come on. Do you understand what it means? Do you even know what his mission is? See, somebody is missing his mission. That's why you can't get over the hump. That's why something is not clicking. It's like that seatbelt is not making that clicking sound for you. Something is not clicking because you don't know what his mission was. His mission was to come and take your sin. So, oh, glory to God, you don't have to live as a sinner. That thing can be transferred over to him. That's the purpose. That was the reason he came, so that he could take your sin. And for you who say, I'm still in the middle of sinning, oh, glory to God, but I don't want to do this. He can still take it. He can take it. He can take it. You just realize you're not good enough. And you make that confession to him that you are not good enough. You can't pay the price for your own sin. And there's no need for you to, that Jesus Christ, because a sacrifice had to be given, an offering had to be given for the sins of man, a payment had to be made. And Jesus made that payment with his body, with his blood. He gave his blood. Blood had to be shed. There would be no forgiveness or remission of sin without the shedding of blood. His blood had to be shed. It was a call for blood to be given. And Jesus said, I'll go. Send me, I'll go. Prepare me a body. I will go. And he shed his blood. See, he had to be like us in order to stand in the gap for us. In order to stand in our place, he had to be like us. So he came here in flesh and blood to be like us, to give himself for us. And you were just born a sinner. You were born into sin. That was for all mankind. All mankind has to be redeemed. And to just accept him and know that he's alive and that your sins have been given over to him. And when your sins touch him, they are gone. They're gone. They're gone because he took the place. He took our place. He fixed it the way God had it set up. That as he gave himself as an offering, all mankind's sins came upon him. Past, future, present sin upon him. And he took it to the cross. And now God say, now I can forgive man. Now all mankind is going to come through you. All mankind is going to come through the second Adam. All mankind is coming through the second Adam now. So through the second Adam, I'm making a new man. The old man died. The new man is coming forth. So now I'm making a new man. Think about the first Adam you read about. Come on now. That's the Adam you heard about. Okay, now we got another Adam. And that Adam name is Jesus. The second Adam. Now God is saying, I'm making a new man. I'm making a new man. So through belief in Christ Jesus, you become brand new. You become brand new. You get a brand new spirit. That brand new spirit is baptized by Jesus. Where Jesus baptized your spirit with the Holy Ghost and fire. The old man was baptized with water, where they would dip you in the water. The new covenant, your new spirit man is baptized by the Holy Ghost and fire. And because we are still in this shell, the old shell, that old shell is dipped in water as well, just as a outward public saying of who you belong with. But that doesn't matter, like what has to go in the baptism in the spirit, where your spirit man is baptized by Jesus. Is baptized by Jesus. All of this is in the word. Your new spirit man is baptized by Jesus. And that is the Holy Ghost and fire. And you will know when it happened. Nobody will have to tell you. You will know. You will know. You will most certainly know. And the Bible talks about how they were filled with the Spirit. Full, you know, it talks about people who were full of the Holy Ghost or filled with the Spirit, full of the Holy Ghost. They would choose man full of the Holy Ghost. You know, you will hear, you will see that in the word. And it makes me wonder, that full, is that full is when you really got your seat. I mean, when it's just so, oh my gosh, that's when it overflows. It's where you can't be still. How some in the Bible describe it as like fire shut up in your bones. You can't be still. Not like you got to get up and run around the house, but if that's what you want to do, amen. But it's something, is, I know one girl, honestly, she came from a Catholic background. She didn't know anything about being filled with the Spirit. Came to a church fellowship with me. And I guess she was so set. I don't want to do that. I want what you have. That's kind of how. I want what you have, Wanda. I want what you have. How do I get what you have? And I'm telling her how to get it. And I take them to the church fellowship with me. And as the pastor touched her, she was still, I don't want to do that. I don't want to run and jump. I don't want to do that, but I want what you have. I just don't want to do that. Okay, I get you. The anointing and the fire hit her, and her flesh, she so didn't want to just move. She didn't want to fall. She didn't want to do it. She was trying. I don't know if she was trying to resist, but it was like she's standing there stiff as a board, but everything, she's shaking. You could see her shaking. It's like she couldn't fight it. And she didn't run. She didn't jump. What did she do? She dropped straight to her knees. She just dropped. Just dropped. And I thought, okay, carpet burn on the knees. That's what, because she was so, I'm not going to run. I'm not going to jump. I don't want to, you know, but I want what you have. And she didn't run. She didn't jump. Dropped straight to her knees, shaking, just dropped. The power of God was on her. So when you're full of the Holy Ghost, full, just think about, again, a glass of water that's been poured to the rim. Allow God to just continue to pour into you till it gets to the rim. For people who've getting it, who something is happening a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time. And like you're getting a little bit more this time in prayer. The next time you get a little closer the next time. Because I can't explain why some people get it instantly and some it takes a while. I can't explain. I know I didn't get it the first go around. Didn't get it the second, third, or fourth go around. It took me a minute. I had to keep going. Okay, God, here I am. And the one day when I just said, you know what? You know what? Let me just try it right now. let me just try it right now. I was back in college, not living in the dorms, my second year in college. My roommate had gone back home for the weekend. I had the apartment to myself. That the weekend I had gone to a party the night or something before. I think I only had a wine cooler or something to drink. Didn't have much to drink, just a wine cooler. Came back, slept on the couch, honestly, because I didn't want to sleep in my bedroom, which was the back bedroom, and I was there by myself. I'm like, okay, if somebody come through the door, I need to be sitting in the front so I can hear. So I slept on the couch with the TV on, clothes on, everything. And that morning, my TV was left because I left it on, someone came on preaching. I did not even hear the whole sermon. The part I paid attention to that I think I was waking up on was he told a story about a little boy accepting Jesus, or some kind of way he brought a story of a little boy in there. And then he, you know, said, well, if you want to accept Jesus, you know, just, you know, repeat after me. And I guess he said, repeat after me. I can't even remember all of that. Now, I know he said, if you want to accept Jesus, so it's like he leads you to the Lord. And I remember saying, yeah, okay. So I'm sitting up now kind of on the couch. And after that, it was just a thought, which I know now was the Lord saying, okay, try now. I got down on my knees on beside the couch. And I said, okay, I did what I knew to do from some years ago when I was much younger. Now, mind you, I'm in college now. So even back when I would say middle school, high school, ministers taught us how to tarry, what they call tarry. They taught us how to tarry. So I knew what to do with tarrying. So I got down and I either said, Jesus, 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 or thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. One or the other. And as I'm saying that, my thoughts are, Lord, fill me, give it to me. And I promise it didn't take long. It did not take long at all. Excuse me. It didn't take long. Something, I had a pastor, our pastor from back in the day, from St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church, came out of a Baptist church. He would say something touched him in the mole of his head. Okay, we're for real. Something touched me from the top of my head, seemed like went all the way through my body, all the way down. I could feel the infusion, and it really did feel like a feeling. I don't know, a pouring or something. Oh, glory to God. And it just went all the way through me. Oh my God. And when I say my mouth was just moving, and I don't know what I was saying, and it was just buzzing, something trying to talk language coming out. And I'm just like crying because I knew I had it. Oh, glory to God. I knew I had it. Nobody had to tell me I had it. I knew I had my seal. Oh, glory to God. I knew I had it. I picked up the phone and called my mom on the phone. And when she picked up, I couldn't even talk. I was trying to get out. Mama, I have it. And all I could hear, she could hear, was me crying. And she's saying, "What's wrong? What's wrong?" And there was nothing wrong. Everything was right. Oh, glory to God. For the first time, everything was right. And I'm trying to tell my mom, "I have it, mama. I know you've been praying for me. I have it." Oh, glory to God. "I have it, mama. I know you prayed for me. I have it." And my younger sister got on the other phone and they saying, "What's wrong?" And I can get, and my mama now can hear, she can hear my prayer language. You know, she can hear me with my baby prayer language coming. She can hear me speaking in another language. And my mom said, "Nah, ain't nothing wrong. She got it. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Hey, glory to God. She got it. She has it. She got it. She got it. She got it. Thank you, Jesus. I knew I had it. I knew. Do you understand? Nobody had to tell me. Nobody had to tell me. I knew. All the rest of that day, the anointing was on me. Even if it was just my legs, I could sit down. I'm sitting again on the couch and my legs are just moving. The anointing stayed all day, all day. My legs was just moving. I knew. And I felt the infilling. Oh, glory. It just flooded my body. I knew. That's when he took that profanity away from me. I knew my mom had been praying for me. I knew that as well. And here's a conversation we had one day prior to that. We were at church. We had come from a church fellowship, and somebody, one of the ministers or something, gave her a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom and said, "Those that you've been praying for, God is going to bring them or save them," or something to that effect. And we were walking out of the service and I was like, "Well, mom," and I want to say I was in college then. I really think I was. It may have been my first year there. Because I remember it wasn't like it was a big gap in between that. But I remember saying, "So am I one of the ones you prayed for?" or something like that. "Mama, you praying for me?" And she said, "Now you know I am. You know I am. You know she was praying for her daughters." And sure enough, not long after that, God filled me, baptized my spirit with the Holy Ghost and fire. So I'm telling you what I know. No one will have to tell you if you have it. You won't second guess it or nothing when you're filled. Get full. There's nothing like it. There is really, when I tell you there's nothing like it, there is absolutely nothing like it. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. Do you hear me? He rose. I know because he does live in me. He do live in me. He is inside of me. for those of you who have not experienced this, don't miss out. Go and get it. It's for you to get. It's for you to accept. It's a gift. He's giving you a present. Open up your present. Receive your present. Receive the gift that he's giving you, a salvation. It's a gift. Receive that. Receive it. Receive it right now. Right now, receive it. He is alive. And he wants to live in you. Thank you, Lord. We're going to continue to talk. Continue to listen.